It was what some would likely call the good old days. Days when those in charge of prisons didn't have to worry about male privileges for prisoners, really. Back when judges wrote that the inmate was the slave of the state and noted that it wasn't the function of courts, but the function of the warden to superintend the treatment and discipline of prisoners. Back then, in the late 1940s, all a fellow named Dexter Dayton, an inmate at Leavenworth, wanted to do was to write letters to and receive letters from a person the court called a young lady in West Virginia. But the prison authorities wouldn't allow it. The mail was of a romantic nature, the court noted, and the warden wanted none of that. The court eventually sided with the warden. Matters of the heart, when they're put on paper and sent through the mails to prison at least, should be left up to the Bureau of Prisons, not judges. A mere 3 years later, there was another appeal to let prisoners communicate with persons of their choosing by none other than fickle Dexter Dayton. Dexter's fickleness became apparent because this time the young woman was from Virginia. Different state, different woman, but the same outcome for our fickle friend. Today, prison mail is more of an exceedingly perplexing problem, to quote one such decision. Sure, the Bureau of Prisons claims it encourages correspondence, as long as that correspondence is directed to socially useful goals. But as much as it's encouraged, it won't be kept private, and it might never get to the inmate. Under the regulations, generally, guards in the mailroom get to read letters, even love letters, before they reach the cell. If it crosses over the line of tender, heartwarming love, and the flames create the potential for a prison uprising, say, then the letter is returned to sender. Same regulations in many state penitentiaries, too. The regulations are based on a United States Supreme Court case from 1974. In it, the court decided that prisoners had First Amendment rights to receive and send mail. Before a warden could restrict mailings in or out, the prison would have to show the restriction furthered some legitimate prison policy or goal, with security, order, rehabilitation concerns being the big ones, like a torrid missive that might lead some to violence. So now there's a balancing test in prison mail cases. We recognize the prisoner's right to receive mail, but it's got to be the right kind of mail. A fairly subjective standard, but Dexter would be pleased to know that prisoners sometimes win today. But not always. Take the case of the inmate's oversized greeting card. Weigh his joy at opening the garish thing versus the contraband that might fit inside, and it's fine to return all oversized greeting cards to sender, the court decided. So today, prisoners likely continue to believe that those in the prison mail room read mail with an evil eye, with an unequal hand, with an oppressive mind. That's a quote from Dexter Dayton, who, given the prose, probably would have written some lovely letters to the young woman in West Virginia. The one in Virginia, too. I'm Amy Guida.